And a call to meeting. The House, the Human Services Committee for the Ways and Means on today, Monday, April.
Human Services.
What did I say? Ways and Means.
But we can solve that.
I don't want to serve.
Okay, we will open up a work session on House Bill 2726.
Keely? This bill defines chain restaurants that are part of an affiliation of 10 or more restaurants in the United States selling standardized menu items and operating under a trade name or service mark, and requires them to make standardized nutrition information ready available on-site, including information about calories, saturated fat, trans fat, carbohydrates, and sodium content.
Great. Thank you, Keely. Representative Kotek, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, good morning. Happy Monday to you. For the record, Tina Kotek, State Representative, North and Northeast Portland, House District 44. And I just want to say, I hear that the good chair wants to take over the Subcommittee on Human Services. Totally your job.
Thanks, but no thanks.
This morning, we're back in front of you to speak about House Bill 2726. We had a very high-level overview of what this bill would do with regard to menu labeling for the state and menu labeling in chain restaurants. We're returning today to talk about a packet of amendments that I've put together, and I'm just going to go straight into my testimony. And with me today is Mary Lou Henrich with the Community Health Partnership and the Oregon Nutrition Policy Alliance as my technical sidekick in case we have questions. So, thank you for the opportunity to return before you this morning to speak in favor of amendments to House Bill 2726. As we discussed during the first public hearing for the bill on March 13th, this bill would provide valuable nutrition information to consumers at the point of decision-making in chain restaurants across the state. With this bill, we can make sure all Oregonians will have an important tool to help them make informed, healthier choices when eating out by requiring calories to appear alongside the price of food items sold by chain restaurants. This bill is intended to mirror the menu labeling ordinance now in place in Multnomah County. The Dash 6 amendments further refine this alignment, as well as present some changes to address industry concerns. In summary, the Dash 6 amendments do the following. And you have a hand and gross version of the bill as well as the actual amendments. It was a complete replacement in the amendments. I hand and gross the bill plus either underlined or marked on the side on the actual Dash 6 amendments what the changes were so you could follow along. So in summary, the Dash 6 amendments do the following. They make changes to match the policy now in place in Multnomah County. They add language to address opponents' concerns about reasonableness and fairness, and they establish a consistent statewide standard. So talking about how we're aligning this further with Multnomah County, for example, the amendments would define chain restaurants as 15 or more restaurants in the United States. Originally, the bill had defined them as 10. Multnomah County defines it as 15 outlets. It would exclude movie theaters from the definition of chain restaurant. That's what they're doing in Multnomah County. It would exempt food products offered for less than 90 days during a calendar year to address seasonal items. Originally, the bill had items for sale less than 30 days. So again, we're trying to align as close as possible with Multnomah County. The amendments also refine the definition of menu board and align the requirements for food tags with those for menus and menu boards. And then finally, it clarifies how alcoholic beverages are to be treated under the requirements. So we first, you'll see a set of amendments there to align it with Multnomah County, and then further, we add language to address opponents' concerns about reasonableness and fairness. For example, including the phrase calorie and nutrient databases as a method to determine typical nutritional values. The way the original bill was written, it seemed like it was using more expensive methods, and one of the things that was in the industry bill was to have calorie and nutrient databases, so that's been included. The bill would, with the amendments, would require the Department of Human Services to seek input from representatives of chain restaurants during the rulemaking process. Again, hearing concerns about perhaps not having full involvement in the Multnomah County process. The amendments would prohibit a consumer's cause of action based on per se negligent claims. In the industry proposal, there was concerns about private right of action, the ability to sue on behalf of consumers. This isn't about a gotcha on the restaurants. This isn't about suing restaurants whether they're not doing the right thing. So there's a, I added in prohibiting those types of claims from consumers. And finally, the amendments would extend the implementation date by 6 months to July 1 of 2010. It's currently set with an emergency clause to go into effect immediately to start the rulemaking process, but then implementation would be January 1 of 2010. So the amendments would extend the implementation date another 6 months to July 1 of 2010. Plus, the amendments would delay the effective date of enforcement until January 1 of 2011. This is similar to what they've done in Multnomah County, starting the rulemaking, implementing it, but then delaying the enforcement on the off chance that some restaurants might need a little more lag time. So in addition to aligning with Multnomah County, adding some amendments to address some industry concerns, the final thing that it does is it establishes a consistent statewide standard through local preemption to equalize the current competitive difference across county lines and chain restaurants. And that's section 6, I believe, in the amendments. I drafted these amendments after several meetings with industry representatives. While I was open at first to considering changes that would imitate policies in effect or under consideration in jurisdictions outside of Oregon, I came to the conclusion that Multnomah County's ordinance reflects good public policy and should be honored and replicated statewide. Of the 181 chain restaurants in Oregon, 132 of them, or 73% of them, have locations in Multnomah County and thus are already subject to their local ordinance. It makes sense, therefore, to build on all Multnomah County's pioneering work on this issue instead of recreating the wheel. Opponents of Multnomah County's efforts and of, frankly, of menu labeling in general, have indicated to me that they want to preempt Multnomah County immediately and start afresh with a weaker standard. I believe this would disrespect I believe this would disrespect the extensive work done by the county and unfairly trump their role as the local county health authority. That said, I believe the combination of local preemption and delayed implementation proposed in Section 6 and 9 of the Dash 6 amendments maintains the integrity of Multnomah County's policy and provides the statewide consistency the business community desires. The Dash 6 amendments would allow Multnomah County's policy to continue in place and provide a seamless transition to a statewide standard on July 1, 2010. While at least one other county is currently exploring their own version of menu labeling, passage of House Bill 2726, as amended, would encourage them to emulate Multnomah County instead of establishing a different set of regulations. Extending the enforcement of the legislation until January 1, 2011, recognizes that it may take some chain restaurants up to 1 year after rulemaking is complete to gather the necessary nutritional information and redesign their menus and menu boards accordingly. Most chain restaurants should be able to comply rather quickly, but some smaller chains may need the extra time. Colleagues, the Dash 6 amendments are an honest attempt to respond to industry concerns about consistency while also taking the most efficient path to implementing a statewide standard by honoring the work already done by Multnomah County. I urge you to support the amendments. And one of the things I didn't mention last time in my opening testimony was we have two task force reports that came out of work in 2007, the strategic plan to slow the rate of diabetes in Oregon and the Task Force for a Comprehensive Obesity Prevention Initiative. Both of these task force state, as one of their recommendations, menu labeling, providing calorie information at point of sale. This bill attempts to meet the goals of these task force reports, maintain the integrity of Multnomah County, because that is in place. It is not going anywhere. It's a standard that we should take statewide. Colleagues, thank you for your time and consideration. I'm happy to discuss the bill section by section or answer any questions that you might have about the amendments. Thanks for your time.
Representative, before I take questions, I noticed in Section 6, a local government may not adopt a requirement for the determination or disclosure of nutritional information by a chain restaurant. Could you talk some about that?
I would be happy to, Madam Chair. So Section 6 of the Dash 6 amendments is the clause for local preemption. It would say on July, and you'll notice there's an operative date for that section of July 1, 2010. It would say that a local government may not go above and beyond the standards here to do additional nutritional requirements on chain restaurants as defined by the bill. Again, the intent of the bill originally, as well as the amendments, is to replicate Multnomah County statewide to the fullest extent possible. So this would say on July 1, 2010, any policy around this at the county level would have to match the states, which would match Multnomah counties.
So you have their county that I represent besides Multnomah County is Clackamas County. So if Clackamas County wanted to implement a more stringent requirement, are you saying they could not do that?
That's correct, Madam Chair. They could start the process, but it would be superseded by the state regulations on July 1, 2010.
Thank you, Representative. Any further questions? Okay. Mary Lou.
I was just here to back up Representative Kotek and to answer any questions that she felt uncomfortable with answering, but if there are none.
And colleagues, we didn't have time to go through the bill line by line, but if there are content questions, but if there are none, I'm happy to scoot away too. So,
Representative Feeney.
Thank you, Chair Tomei. In your testimony, you spoke a little bit about you've been working with the industry and trying to kind of come to some consensus. Can you speak a little more on how that process went, and did we get there? I mean, is everybody kind of happy with this amendment, or where's your feeling on that?
Madam Chair and Representative Friedman, thank you for the question. This is not a consensus set of amendments. I met several times with the Oregon Restaurant Association as well as from representatives of the McDonald's Corporation. I was not able to meet with Yum's Food. We just didn't, our schedules didn't hook up. Those conversations were about options that have been proposed or passed in other jurisdictions and concerns about how they don't match up with Multnomah County. And I looked at them and considered them and frankly did not find the arguments compelling. And what I came down with was Multnomah County has their set of regulations in place. They're in the process of implementing it. It's gone into effect. We have someone here from the county if you have specific questions about what they're doing. But after considering some of those options that were proposed by the industry, I came back to Multnomah County and said, this is here. It's working fine. Yeah, there might be some bumps in the road, but it would be, I think, unfair for the state to say you have to stop what you're doing after your due diligence and the work they've already begun. And frankly, didn't find the other arguments very compelling, to be honest. And so that's why I came up with these amendments. I thought I was trying to respond to industry concerns with a consistent standard. However, we've come to a disagreement about what that means, but this is my proposal. So thank you.
Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep. Kotek, how many restaurants are not covered right now that would be brought into this with this bill, and of the 23% or whatever that is, where are they around the state, and is this new version better or worse for them than the original?
Madam Chair and Representative Boone, if I could, Mary Lou, do you want to?
Certainly, I can speak to that.
And Councilor.
Oh, I'm Mary Lou Henrich, Community Health Partnership Executive Director, for the record, from Portland. There are a total of 181 chains in the state of Oregon, you know, on the date that this was looked at a couple of months ago. Things are coming and going. So, but basically, we know of 121 chains that actually have 15 locations nationwide. 181 is the total number. Out of that 181, 132 have a location in Multnomah County. So that's the 73% that Representative Kotek mentioned in her testimony. So when you subtract 132 from 181, it leaves you 47 chains in the state that would fall under this net of their size, having 15 locations nationwide. And of those 47 left, 23 have locations in Seattle, King County, or New York City that both have similar menu labeling requirements on the books and implemented. So if you then subtract the 23 that are in either Seattle, King County, or New York City from that 47, you're down to 26. Those 26 chains, 21 of them have locations in California. California recently passed their law that will go into effect January 1st of 2011. So they will be caught under a net, a very similar law. So that leaves five chains in Oregon that have no locations in Multnomah County, Seattle, New York City, or California. One of those is in Baker City, Mimi's Cafe. It's a New Orleans-style chain restaurant around the country that just doesn't happen to have locations in any of those other places I mentioned. There's another one called Country Pride in Salem, Kelly's Cajun Grill in Washington County, Winger's Grill and Bar in Klamath Falls and Malheur County. And finally, the largest of these five that aren't located in one of those other jurisdictions is McGrath's Fish House. And they have seven locations in Washington, Clackamas, Jackson, Marion, Deschutes, Lane, and Benton counties. So they seem to be the largest of the ones that aren't caught under someone else's net. When I looked on the website, McGrath's already has all the nutritional analysis of their menu items there on their website. So that means the one thing that's kind of the biggest step, I think, for restaurants is to do the analysis of their menu items. That's already done. So all there would be required would be the posting of the calories on their menus, and they've got that done. The other ones didn't have nutritional information on their website when I checked. And if they don't have that already done, we've also got the Oregon Dietetic Association and the public health community that have said we will be glad to help. We have their dietetic interns, and actually their supervisor here, Monica Huntsberger, is here. There are many people who are willing to help in that nutritional analysis if these chains don't have that capability themselves. So it's really, I guess, the ultimate answer is there are five chains in Oregon that are not located in a jurisdiction that has already either moved forward or moving forward rapidly with menu labeling. Not brochuring, not postering, but putting something on the menu, the calories on the menu.
Representative Ann Norman.
Thank you, Chair Tomei. I have a couple questions, but I will ask this one. You mentioned multi-states, multi-jurisdictions. If the federal government has its own, does that my presumption is it would supersede what we have done, is that correct?
Madam Chair and Representative Van Orman, thank you for the question. There has been legislation introduced at the national level to have, again, some kind of national standard around menu labeling. It's been introduced. It could take many years for Congress to pass that. There's some understanding that given that you have various jurisdictions working on this, that it might come sooner rather than later. I think whether or not it preempts what states or locales have done remains to be seen. What I would say about that is if Oregon wants to be a leader on this and have a solid standard that could then somehow influence the national debate, I think it's very well worth moving ahead for that reason alone, because Oregon has been an innovator on a variety of things, and if you don't stake your ground on how you want it to be done, the national standard could be, you know, all over the board. But it's really unclear when that would happen and whether there would be preemption at the local level. I would guess there'd be some interest in doing that, but remains to be seen.
Thank you.
Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You had mentioned that there were some similarities, but California was different than what is being proposed here. And California would go into effect, was it January?
2011.
Mm-hmm. What are the differences between Multnomah County and California? And in addition to that, did we start out just looking at caloric content? Or have we expanded? Or,
Madam Chair and Representative Huffman, I'll answer that question. Then the other one, I'll throw to Mary Lou. This is only about calories on the boards or menu on the menus or on the boards next to the price. It would also require a standard set of additional written materials that a customer could have upon request with fat, sodium, and it's in the bill of those things that would be listed. But the desire here is to stick to one item, and that's calories next to the price. And I think that's the advantage of having a statewide standard, because you make that clear so there can't be a lot of local variation. And one of the things I mentioned last time is I do think calories is the key item. People are always going to need a different set of nutritional information, which the bill would allow them to get readily. But at the end of the day, reducing the number of calories, regardless of your diet, is critical to what we're trying to achieve. So, and then Mary Lou?
Yes, Chair Tomei and Representative Huffman. I have a little comparison chart which I can make available to you. But basically, in New York City, Multnomah County, California, and Philadelphia, they all require calories on the menu board. They all require calories on the printed menu. They all require calories on food tags. The definition of a chain restaurant in New York, Multnomah, and Philadelphia is 15 or more locations. California is 20. There are things on enforcement, prominence, exemptions, and effective dates. But the basic the basic thing I keep telling people is this is, the bill is referred to as menu labeling, and it is not menu labeling if we don't put something on the menu. If we simply have brochures or posters, those are brochuring or postering bills, which we really don't need because that's currently what restaurants have the option of doing. So the significant difference that is not listed on this comparison chart, but I'm sure you have been told by the industry in California, is they are not requiring the calories to be listed on drive-through menus. The other jurisdictions are, and we believe it's important, and this bill does require it.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Chair Tomei. You talk about the number of chains there are in the state. Could you, and maybe you have this number, maybe you don't, could you tell me how many restaurants we're talking about? How many businesses are we talking about individually outside of Multnomah County that this would affect?
I have that. Just...
And Madam Chair and Representative Freeman, it's a great question. I know the advocates have been trying hard. They've been working hard to come up with that number. It's not as easy a number to find as you would suspect, but they do have a number.
We do have the number. The best, the data from counties in the state is that there are 2,843 establishments of those 181 chains, if I'm not incorrect. Can I just turn around and ask Jill? Yes, I'm correct. Thank you.
And that's the entire state?
That's the entire state. And I do have, by each county, the exact names of the various restaurants. Like here we are in Lake County, they have Subway. In Klamath County, this is the list. So we do have that available.
You don't have it by county. Do you have this in Multnomah County? I was wanting to subtract Multnomah County
Hang
out
on.
Of that number.
I sure do.
You know how many we're talking about.
Hang on a sec. I've got them alphabetical here. So if I just L...
Oh, thank you.
Multnomah, and we also have a Multnomah expert here. We have that there are 132 chains,
mm-hmm.
and there are, I have two numbers here, Sonia, 652 and 712, 600, about 600
right.
locations.
Right, thank you.
Yeah.
A question. Representative Cameron, I see that you've come today. Would you like to speak? This is invited testimony only, but if you'd like to speak, you're welcome to come. Okay. All right. That's trippy. Would you like to have anybody from Multnomah County come? Or Mary Lou, can you tell us the progress in Multnomah County?
Well, Sonia Manhouse is here from Multnomah County. She's the manager of the program. And what Sonia has told me is that she has had basically great interactions with the restaurant chains in Multnomah County, calling to ask, can we show you how we're proposing to put this on our board? Would this work? I've talked to our people from New York, and this is what they're doing. Will this work in Multnomah County? Calling for kind of technical advice and assistance as they are trying to comply and wanting to be sure that what they're doing is going to work. And so I don't want to speak for Sonia, but Sonia told me that she had not had one negative phone call from any restaurateurs in Multnomah County to date.
Thank
and they
you,
started
Mary.
On
Thank
March.
You. Representative Cowan. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Madam Chair. What you just said sort of jogged my mind for something I was going to talk about at some point. With regard to standardizing the menu boards for any respective chain, I know that some of the conversations that I've had get to the interaction between the individual franchisee, the cost of the design of a new menu board, and their relationship with corporate and the need to get approvals across the way. So I'm thinking about these various chains that are represented within Multnomah County, and as this conversation proceeds, then will there be some help, I guess, available to outlying franchisees who maybe the design work has been done that they can mm-hmm. tag on to? Some of that work with corporate has been done. Could you kind of speak to that a little bit? or someone.
And while Sonia's coming up, Madam Chair and Representative Cowan, and one of the reasons that we have the 6-month extra time that we're proposing the amendment is to provide a little more time, as Mary Lou was saying. We're hoping and assuming that for those chains that have national and have already done the nutritional analysis, that's the biggest amount of time that we're understanding would take. In terms of the design, you know, the Subways in New York have some kind of design, I'm assuming, could somehow be shared nationally in terms of what a franchisee in Multnomah County or elsewhere in the state would have to do. But, Sonia, I don't know, do you want to talk about how that's been going?
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Sonia Manhess. I'm the manager of the Chronic Disease Prevention Program in Multnomah County. We've been working with a lot of chains in Multnomah County since adopting our rules, about 20 right now that we're actively working with. And what we have found is that the provision of technical assistance has been very important, whether they're a local franchise or whether they're a part of a corporate entity. And a lot of folks that are franchises have been taking the approach of first trying to contact and work collaboratively with their corporate headquarters to see if they can get assistance with the nutritional analysis and the menu design. But part of what we're committed to providing to them is assistance with the nutritional analysis. We have a registered dietitian in-house in our program who is providing that assistance for folks that aren't able to tap into that through their companies. And the menu design pieces, there are some issues that are emerging as fairly complicated, and we are trying to work with them as collaboratively as we can to determine what's going to meet the intent of the rules and what will still preserve the integrity of their menu design. So we're doing that carefully and planfully together.
Follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess what I'm getting at is I hope that we come out with something that's sort of I can't find the word I'm looking for, but the design, the box, the how-to kit, whatever you want to call it, that other smaller franchisees across the state can tap into. I understand people get their products from different suppliers and that there may be a certain amount of difference from one major supplier to another. But it just seems to me that collectively within their entity, whether it's whatever franchise it might be, I don't want to start naming people, there should be able to be some pretty much standard design that everyone wouldn't have to start from scratch to do the design work, and that then it could roll into the standard times when one might be changing their menu board. I think you've mentioned that before. That's part of the implementation reason. I'm trying to find reassurance for the single franchisee out in my neck of the woods who doesn't want to start from scratch on this.
Representative Tomei, Representative Cowan, I think that's exactly why the approach that Representative Kotek has taken in 2726 is the right one. Giving the franchisees and the franchises in Multnomah County a chance to work with the Multnomah County folks and get it done there. And then if there is I'll just use some names because it helps better, but Subways and McDonald's and the various Taco Bell, et cetera, the nutritional analysis for those organizations is on their website. If you go there, those big ones, it's on their website. They've done the nutritional analysis. And the fact that a McDonald's in Oregon buys their buns from X Bakery, and in New York they buy it from Y Bakery, the fact is the recipe and the amount of calories in that bun is the same. So those pieces really are done for most of the chains, the bigger chains, and you can find it on their website. But then the next thing is putting it and just designing their menu board, and that's what Representative Kotek showed you at the last hearing, some examples of menu boards that have been done in New York. They're hanging there now in Portland at Noah's Bagels, for example, where they've got the calories listed there. So they just take off of their total nutritional analysis those calories, and then they have to figure out a way to design their menu board. The designs for many of those chains have been done at the corporate office. And that's why we're saying we think putting the calories only and not allowing local jurisdictions, although public health folks, it's really anathema to our beliefs about local preemption. Trust me, this is sticking in our craw. But we are looking at the fact that from the industry point of view, it would be very difficult if Multnomah County said calories and Lane County said calories and sodium and somebody else, you know, so everybody that owned one of these franchises and was working with their corporate office would have design nightmares. So that's why we've said the local preemption on the chain restaurants who are covered through this, that this is kind of going to be the standard. And the way that we also believe that people in Oregon will learn to use the information, just like you use the price now when you're comparing your fish witch with your burger, you will have two other pieces of information. You'll have that calorie information on this side to kind of go, $1.89, 400 calories, $3.69, 550 calories. And then you make your own decision. We're not telling anyone how to eat, but it's menued, it's easy. And it also makes that consistent thing you're looking for, Representative Cowan, where it isn't changing all over and we aren't requiring people to do things they can't.
Representative Van Orman and then Representative Huffman, and then I think we're going to move on. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is about monitoring and supervision of the sites to make sure that they comply with the law. My presumption is that it goes to the local county health departments to carry this out. And do we have any idea what impact? Because in listening to the description of Multnomah County, I know that we're going to have a tough time in Hood River County being of service to restaurants in this capacity. So do we have any idea of how this is going to play out for our smaller counties?
Madam Chair and Representative Van Orman, there is a lot, as Mary Lou has said, a lot of interest in nonprofit partners providing technical assistance. I know that's not quite the same thing. Multnomah County has very much embraced this locally. We would assume some technical assistance from the state. In terms of the enforcement piece, it's complaint-driven. This isn't about having a set of inspectors going out there. You know, if a complaint is made, a public health inspector would go out. But again, enforcement doesn't start until January 1 of 2011 with the idea that there has to be some roll up here. So I think there will be some counties who will embrace this and want to spend some time on it. But again, I think for the record, and we'll make it clear, the nonprofit partners are very willing to provide that technical assistance if the counties are not able to do it themselves.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Pardon me if you already answered this. I'm trying to absorb all of it. But are the drink places included in this too? The Dutch Bros and Starbucks?
Do you want to follow up, ma'am?
Representative Tomei, Representative Huffman, yes, they are.
Yes, thank you. How do they, with, you know, skinny, brevet, syrup, no syrup, it's my understanding they have tens of thousands of combinations. What's Multnomah County's approach to handling that?
So there's a piece in our rules that talks about customizing, and customizing is exempt. And so what is required for labeling is standard menu items only. So whatever is defined as a standard tall mocha would be labeled. However you customize that with non-fat or without whipping cream would be customized. And so it's not the responsibility of that of Starbucks or a restaurant to provide it for every variation.
Thanks.
I'm glad you asked that. I wondered about that, too. Thanks. I'd forgotten about it. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Chair Tomei. I want to follow up just a little bit on Representative Van Orman's questions about the counties and the enforcement piece. And I kind of feel compelled to say this because the counties I represent are struggling financially right now with the loss of the timber money and looking to do more things when we can't currently take care of what we think is the priorities there is kind of a concern. So your idea is that it's a complaint driven to the health department of the county, and then they will somehow have resources to go follow up on the complaint. Is that sort of the? And I get that Multnomah County does it, and I also understand the economy there is much different than where I'm from. So maybe you could explain a little bit of the idea of that.
Madam Chair and Representative Freeman, we can't probably speak to how the enforcement side would look like because I haven't even started that in Multnomah County. But it was drafted to be, again, complaint-driven, and it would also go to the state. And so there's a state element here, I would assume, some kind of, you know, hotline or number to public health here at the state level who would then probably call the local jurisdiction, say, we've heard some complaints about a particular place. But, again, while I think it's important to make sure we get the enforcement right, I think people are going to be good actors here. They want to do the right thing. This isn't around about going after the restaurants. There is a provision in the amendment, if you have repeated violations, that there would be some, you know, those chains would be taken to task. But I think restaurants want to do the right thing. They're going to comply to the best of their ability. I do think there might, you know, we want to make sure that the counties aren't burdened with this. But again, we're not picking on the local mom and pops. We're sticking with the national chain restaurants. They should have most of the nutritional information. It's a handful of restaurants who are probably going to need technical assistance. And I think between the advocates, the state, and even Multnomah County, if they were willing, could handle to help out some of the less populous counties.
Thank you. Talk some about the advocates, who they are.
Well, I'm Mary Lou Henrich again, and Community Health Partnership, Oregon's Public Health Institute, is part of this advocacy group. We have a broad group called the Oregon Nutrition Policy Alliance, and it includes the Oregon Dietetic Association, the Diabetes Association, the Heart Association, the Upstream Public Health, the Oregon Public Health Association, and I'm sure I'm forgetting people now. Northwest Health Foundation has been a very strong supporter and has actually put money into helping many of us organizations to provide services and to assist. So the dietetic internship program at OHSU, the OHSU Department of Weight Regulation. So there are a lot of us advocates who believe in the recommendations of these two reports around obesity, and that we have got to be taking some major step towards helping people manage their weight. So we,
I'm going to stop you just for a second, because I think what Representative Freeman is getting at is how could the counties are having trouble financially, mm-hmm. how could they be assisted by the advocates?
Okay. They can be assisted, Representative Freeman, by our individual organizations. They also, the state provides some funding to the local jurisdictions that is for tobacco and tobacco-related and other chronic diseases. And, for example, Marilyn Carter in Douglas County is in charge of the compatriot here of Sonia. And so we believe that we can work with people like Marilyn at the local level. If there are questions and problems, she can call on us. And also Multnomah County, there's the Coalition of Local Health Officials here. They are supportive, and also members of the ONPA, and they are supportive of this. So I think working together, we want to make this work, and we all commit collectively to helping business make it work.
Thank you, Madam. Did you have a further follow-up? Okay, great. Any other questions? All right, we don't have the fiscal today.
No, we do not.
So we won't be able to vote on this. But I appreciate your coming to testify today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, colleagues. Thank you for the discussion.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate
for coming.
It.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
One little comment. I ran the math just because I knew everybody. and it's kind of apples and apples. On the chain restaurants, Multnomah County has 70, no. Round figure, 75%. On the chains and the actual locations, it's 21%. So, just wanted to...
Great. Thanks for sharing that with us.
So, Madam Chair, are you wanting? Is it your intent today to plug in an amendment, or would you rather hold off until we get the fiscal on this?
Well, I think I'd rather wait for the fiscal.
Madam
well,
Chair?
I guess so. We'd have to pass this amendment, wouldn't we?
In order Madam
to get
Chair,
the fiscal.
If you don't do the amendment, then you have to get another fiscal.
Right, you're right. Okay, all right. So, Representative Boone, could you move the dash six amendments to House Bill 2726?
Madam Chair, I move dash six amendments to House Bill 2726.
Thank you. Representative Boone moves the dash six amendments to House Bill 2726. Any discussion?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'm not in favor of the dash six amendments. If I had a choice, I absolutely love this bill, but I would like to have some consistency for the state and tying in with what both Massachusetts and California have already done, and actually the dash ones address that issue. So I'm actually going to be voting no on the dash six at this moment.
Thank you very much. I think we'll take a roll call.
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Representative Maurer.
No.
Representative Huffman?
No.
Representative Freeman?
No.
Representative Denbrough?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
No.
Vice Chair Boone?
Aye. Aye, sorry.
Chair Tomei?
Aye. Having received the majority, House the Dash 6 amendments will be attached to House Bill 2726. Okay, so with that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2726. Thank you, committee. Would everybody who was here to at least give notice on this bill, could you put up your hands so we know how many people are supportive of this bill? Great, thank you so much, and thank you for coming today.
Employees.
Okay, colleagues, we don't have the fiscal on House Bill 2794, so I'm going to hold House Bill 2794 over the next session, and we don't have the fiscal on, but we're going to have
we can still do the public hearing on 3466.
Okay, and we do have the fiscal on 2138, so I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 2138. Healy?
This bill updates the language and definitions related to continuing care retirement community, provides for increased disclosure of operating expenses, including fees, financial status, and Medicare and Medicaid provider status, and provides for the rights of residents in a continuing care community. The Dash 2 amendments, which DHS is advising that we adopt, eliminates entrance fees from the definition of open bed long-term care facility and eliminates the requirement that changes to the residential disclosure statement be disclosed to the Department of Human Services prior to its release to residents. It does require that when an annual disclosure statement is amended, providers file the new materials with DHS. And I believe Mary Gear wants to speak to
Mary, this. Thank you for coming today. Colleagues, we heard this back in February, and I think we're ready, hopefully, to pass this bill today.
Good morning, Chair Tomei and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to just speak briefly about the Dash 2 amendments. These are the amendments that we're asking you to adopt. For the record, my name is Mary Gear. I'm the administrator for the Office of Licensing and Quality of Care in the Oregon Department of Human Services, Seniors and People with Disabilities Division. I just want to clarify for the record our intent behind the language on the annual disclosure statement. The current requirement is that when a continuing care retirement community register annually, that they provide the department with copies of all of their consumer disclosure information. It does happen that during the course of that year, the CCRC may want to change the content of the disclosure statement. And it's the department's intent not that the CCRC have to get prior approval from the department, but that the facility and the campus does notify the department that they've made a change and provide a copy of that change to the department. Just as a reminder, these statutory changes came out of an advisory committee to the department that was made up of providers and consumers who did an awful lot of work on this bill over the course of the interim. And, again, a reminder that there is no fiscal impact to the department.
Thank you, Mary. For those of us who were on the committee last session, you will remember that we talked about this issue at great length, and I think the department has worked well with the providers, and I think we have a good bill in front of us. So, Representative Boone.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments dated April 1st, 2009.
Representative Boone.
Moon.
Moves to adopt the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2138. Any discussion? Any disagreement? The Dash 2 amendments are adopted. Representative Boone.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2138.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative.
I'm sorry. Do we have a fiscal now with the Dash 2s?
Yes. There is a fiscal?
How can we have a fiscal on something we haven't adopted yet?
When there's a recommendation made, I can request a fiscal on the specific amendment.
That applies to all committees? because we've been told in multiple committees that you can't get a fiscal until you have an adopted amendment.
That's not my understanding.
Is that a new procedure?
No, it's from the beginning. If you know which amendment is being recommended and which amendment your committee is likely to adopt, you can request a fiscal statement for that amendment, and then they have to do an A after you adopt it, but you can have, in fact, you can't pass it out of committee without the fiscal. So we can do it in either order. We can adopt and pass it the same day as we have done previously, or we can adopt as we just did with Representative Kotex, and then I'll request the fiscal, and we'll have to have another work session to actually pass the bill out of committee.
Okay.
So we do have a fiscal, but there is no, it doesn't have to be referred to Ways and Means, right?
There is no referral to Ways and Means.
Okay. So we have that amendment.
Okay.
Any other discussion? I'm sorry. Any other discussion? Okay.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2138 as amended with the DPAS recommendation.
Representative Boone moves House Bill 2138 as amended to the floor with the DPAS recommendation. Any discussion? Okay. Could you call the roll, please?
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Representative Mauer.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
Aye.
Representative Dimbro.
Aye.
Representative Callender.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye. Having received the required majority, House Bill 2138 will go to the floor with the DPAS recommendation. Anybody like to carry this? I think it's an important bill. I don't want it to go on the consent calendar since we did work on it last session. Representative Cowan? Great.
Yep.
Thank you. Okay. So you're telling me, okay, so I close the hearing and work session on House Bill 2138. So you're coming out of the fiscal on what?
Yes, we did get the fiscal. I called up and we have the fiscal on House Bill 2794,
okay.
So we can move that.
We'll open the work session on House Bill 2794.
And this bill requires health benefit plans to include coverage of the HPV vaccine for female beneficiaries 11 years of age and older.
Okay. So, Representative Boone, we're just keeping you busy today.
Yep. Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2794 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Oh, we have a fiscal on this set. Does it go to Ways and Means?
No, I don't believe so. Let me double check. But it should not. No.
Okay. Representative Boone moves that House Bill 94? To the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I think I'm going to support this, but Representative Mauer during the public hearing brought up a question that I never did hear the answer for, and that was for the need for this. I think it's a good project, and that's why I'm not going to vote no and hold it up. I just get frustrated with stuff like this coming before our committee when it's already being done, and I never did hear an answer as to why we have to do it. So
we did hear.
I think she heard you say it was we were going to carry it over and left. I can respond partially in that last week DHS did send us a letter basically stating that they had inquired of several of the larger employers in the state who do private insurance, like Nike, and had at the time of the letter, which was midweek, not received any response from them about whether or not their insurance covered that.
And Madam Chair, just so you know, that this law, it was completely irrelevant to Nike and Intel and Portland Public Schools.
All self-insured.
They are self-insured and not covered under this law. Regents covers it. LifeWise covers it. Pacific Source is covered. If you're Oregon Health Plan, it's covered. If you meet certain minimum requirements, it's covered for underinsured people. So I'm opposed to it because, yet maybe it's a nice idea. Show me the need. And we asked very specifically, show us. Tell us what insurance companies are not covering us. And everybody said, oh, that's too difficult. We can't find the answer. Well, I'm doing Googling, and I can find the answer for the big ones. I'm just saying, show me.
And what I did hear, Representative Mallory, you bring up a really good point, was that this precludes any other insurance company that would be coming into Oregon. It would require everybody who comes in, and even some of these smaller insurance companies that I think are not the major ones that you just mentioned, would require everybody to do that. So if it's a good idea, it's probably a good idea to require it of everybody.
Well, I don't know much smaller insurance companies in Pacific Source and Lifewise. And in fact, I don't know any insurance companies that are beating down the door to come serve Oregon for a number of reasons. So.
Thank you, Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And actually, it's a question for Representative Maurer because he's obviously done his homework. My question would be is, maybe some of these insurance companies cover it only in their groups. So do they also cover individual coverage? Because often some of the things that we pass through here required are just
groups
for groups.
Versus,
yeah. So I don't know. I mean, do you know?
Well, the answer is yes. Individuals would be covered under this law, okay, so that they would have to comply. And my answer is, maybe they bought the individual insurance company based on price. And I don't know what this is going to do to the price of the health insurance. It's a pretty expensive series. And if you miss a shot and wait a while, then you've got to start all over. And it's going to cost even more. And I'm not quite sure when the insurance companies say no. But I just think that this is probably the wrong time to add another mandate on top of our 30-some-odd.
Thank you, Representative Maurer. So we have a motion on the... Representative Freeman?
Just real quick. Thank you, Chair Tomei. My concern is only around the mandate. I think the vaccination is a great thing for people to do. I'm just concerned the mandate will raise the cost of insurance to everybody and thus less people will be able to afford to be on insurance. So that's my only concern.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Van Orman, did I see your hand up?
No, I was just...
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry to do this so often, but and to Representative Freeman's comment, I guess I would say this is a preventive measure, and the cost of the preventive measure is far less than the cost of treatment later on for this horrible disease that women still have to deal with, but don't have to, but do in some cases. And this is truly primary prevention at its best.
Thank you, Representative. Any further discussion? Are we ready to vote? Okay. Zach, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Representative Maurer.
No.
Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
No.
Representative Denbrough.
Aye.
Representative Cowan.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye. Having received the required majority, House Bill 2794 passes and will go to the floor. Hopefully it's a due pass recommendation. Representative Boone, you want to carry this?
I'd be happy to. Thank
Good.
You.
Thank you. We're moving along. Okay. I already said we didn't have a fiscal 3466, right?
Right, but we had a public hearing scheduled.
Okay. Let's see. We have a work session on 2391, so let's open that up. Keeley, open up work session on House Bill 2391.
This bill is Representative Cowan's bill that we heard discussed last week and adopt the -1 amendment. It directs the Department of Human Services to establish an education and assistance program aimed at seniors, people with disabilities, volunteer caregivers, and those approaching retirement that may be at risk of becoming impoverished and relying on public assistance.
Representative Cowan, you want to move this bill?
Madam Chair, I would move House Bill 2391 as amended with the -1s on to wherever it has to go, Ways and Means, with our support.
Great. Thank you, Representative Cowan. Representative Cowan moves House Bill 2391 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion?
With the due pass recommendation.
With the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Good job, Representative Cowan. We still have some work to do in Ways and Means, but this is a good bill. I hope we can move along with it.
I appreciate the committee's work on it as well. Thank you.
Thank you. And, Zach, you don't need to start at the bottom of the alphabet each time. If you would alternate, that would be great.
Thank you.
He just wants to confuse you.
You can call the roll, please.
Representative Cowan.
Aye.
Representative Dimbrough.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Representative Mallett.
Aye.
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye. House Bill 2391, having received the required majority, as amended, passes to the Committee on Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation. Thank you all. So where's my little cheat sheet that was here? Did I lose it?
I'm not going to do that.
I don't know. Here it is. Okay. We're moving along. So,
don't have that public hearing on 3466.
Okay. We'll have open up a public hearing on House Bill 3466. Healy.
And this bill creates a voluntary database within the state police law enforcement data system that provides information to assist law enforcement officers in identifying individuals in need of medical, mental health, and social services. Directs the Department of Human Services to develop enrollment and revocation forms for submission of personal medical diagnosis, medication, and contact information to the database. Identifies consent requirements and defines the qualifying illnesses that allow for registry.
Great.
Would you prefer me to stay here, or do you want me to go
down? Why don't you go down there? Yeah, real official.
So we can grill you. I think they said we didn't vote the public hearing.
So between the difference on we did. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. You're all looking happy today.
It's sunny.
My name is Andy Olson. I'm state representative out of the Albany area. House Bill 3466 that you've all signed on to, thank you, is actually very similar to what you had heard earlier a couple of weeks back, which was House Bill 2054. It deals with the issue of providing a database for law enforcement. For protection there, as well as protection for the individual that might be suffering from a medical condition, as well as bringing some peace to family members as well. And there's not much change from what the two bills were, 2054, from what you originally heard, and that of this one, 3466, other than that this is a little more broad. Rather than just focus specifically on the mental health issues, this is now delved into the medical side as well. And if you turn to the last portion of actually it would be page 3, I'll just kind of go over a couple of the things that are some changes. At line 17, page 3 of this bill, talks about the qualifying illnesses or conditions that would apply toward this. And you can see that as a result of that, we've added dementia, developmental disability, DD. Also, under line 20, subsection 3 there, it delves into the mental disorders.
Yes, just a moment. Rex and Maurer seems to be troubled.
I am somewhat troubled. What are we? Page 3?
Page 3 of 3466.
No, 3466.
Page 3, line 3 says family member.
No, not line 17, right?
Yes, line 17.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
We both heard the same
thing. Madam Chair.
We're better now.
For the representative on your far right there, that would be a 1 and a 7.
Got it.
That's just. Thank you. And then, as you can see, it just describes there, and I won't go into great detail with you on that, because you can read as well. And then also under line 22, which is subsection D there, talks about behavioral disorder and causes of disorientation. That would also include your individual who might be suffering from diabetes. And I can tell you from personal experience, I've stumbled onto that many times over the years. And Representative Boone, I know you have as well. The line 30 of that same page plugs in, just reinforces the issue of a one-hour training with this at the Academy for Law Enforcement Agencies to be aware of how to use this database as well. That's a key piece. Now, there was another question that surfaced, and I just wanted to kind of clear up on that on the same page, line 7, because that's subsection 8 or section 8 there is talking about that an annual report would go to your local public safety coordinating council. Just kind of information of how the database is working. Clearly, on line 7, toward the end of that sentence, there the report may not include personal identifiable information. And that was a key thing. We did not want folks that were on your local public safety coordinating council to have that available to them because of the protection portion of that. So that's clarified in there. Now, if you move over to page 2, you can see on line 27, section 6, or sub 6, the Department of Human Services will be tasked to develop two forms, one being the enrollment form, the other being the revocation of consent form. Sub 7, line 36, just gives you the description of what the information will be on the database itself, name, date of birth, illness, symptoms, two contacts, and it describes, the bill describes of who those two contacts could be should someone need to be, you know, notified in regards to a contact with an individual. And then back to the front page, because this, a lot of this is all the same. It talks about voluntary, it talks about line 22. Is a large piece to this was a change, and it is new, that a person authorized to make medical decisions for the individual, if the individual is subject to the guardianship, an advance directive would be applied, declaration for mental health treatment, or power of attorney, which is similar language from what 2054 was. So those are some key elements. And then finally, to close this out for you, to tighten up with where we were going with this, line 27, which would be subsection 3, the portion describing for to be valid, this express written consent described in this section has to be witnessed by at least two adults, and then it further describes who those, the context of what those adults are. And I failed to make extra copies of this, but this was just a Madam Chair, I shared this with you a little bit, but this is just a little piece here that the Salem Police Department had just put a little blurb in the Statesman here about a month ago about what they were actually doing, dealing with. And I'll just read this quickly to you. Police set up registry to help disabled people. If you or a loved one has a disability, the Salem Police Department wants to hear from you. The department has a voluntary registry where people with mental health, medical, or developmental disabilities can place their names in case of an acute crisis. So there's that kind of a concept, movement, and attitude out there right now.
Right. Good work, Representative.
Thank you.
Why don't you stay right there and see if there are any questions?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Obviously, there's no fiscal.
There is a fiscal.
Do we have the...
No.
Actually, David Yandell is here from Law Enforcement Data System, and he can share what they had. I just give you a heads up, ballpark figure of what they had asked or thought the cost should be. So,
good. David.
Yeah.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is David Yendell. I'm the Director of the Law Enforcement Information Division for the Oregon State Police. The fiscal that we prepared and submitted last week is $58,000, which is a quote that we received from our records management system vendor, which would also include 50 user licenses at $250 per license. This is based on the estimated number of licenses of those individuals who would be authorized access to this information. And depending on what the actual number turns out to be, we may be increasing that by the $250 per license or decreasing the amount. But the rest of the quote is the estimate that our vendor provided for actually setting up the database to meet the requirements of the bill.
So would there be further cost after the program is set up? Would there be an ongoing cost?
Madam Chair, that's unknown at this time. It depends on the number of folks that take advantage of the capability. We're very pleased that this has an annual reporting opportunity, which will give us the chance to evaluate how the system is used, how many folks take advantage of the capability, and how law enforcement throughout the state utilize the capability of the system.
Thank you. Any further questions, either of these two witnesses? Thank you very much. Thanks for coming today, and
thank you,
Representative, for bringing this to us.
Steve.
So do we have other people who
have nobody else signed up?
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this bill? Seeing none, I would just point out to you, colleagues, that we have Linn County had sent us some information, and Mental Health of America sent us, or Mental Health America of Oregon sent us also some testimony, and we have testimony from the City of Eugene. So I think we're waiting to have the fiscal statement.
Madam Chair, you mentioned one that I don't think all of us have. We have the one from Linn County and the one from the City of Eugene, but not that.
You don't have the one from Mental Health America?
No.
I don't have Lynn or Mental Health.
Nobody has the one from Mental Health America? I'll give it to Keely and make sure that you have it in your package next time. Any other questions?
I got it in the wrong bill file then.
Any other questions? All right, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 3466.
And you can carry the work session over to Wednesday if you like, and maybe we'll have the fiscal by then.
We'll carry over the work session to Wednesday on House Bill 3466. Colleagues, we don't have the fiscal on House Bill 2442, so we're going to carry the work session over to Wednesday on House Bill 2442. Any other business?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all very much. Thank you, and we'll see you Wednesday morning. I will close the Human Services Committee.